It's now time to think outside the box of what we've always known.
I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord.
I think that's a profound turning point in somebody's relationship with God.
And our hope in starting this was that this would become an ever-expanding conversation.
Just two real guys talking about life. That's a nice tagline.
I'm Wayne Jacobson.
And I'm Brad Cummings.
And welcome to another edition of The God Journey. The God Journey.
Man, a lot of stuff happened in the world, eh?
Oh, my goodness.
This summer, I've been thinking about while I'm gone, goodness, the whole Israeli-Gaza thing went on, the Ukraine-Russia thing going on, the ISIS-Syria-Iraq thing going on, the Ebola virus and going on. The
none of which are minor.
None of which are minor. The drought out here in the West, the floods back in the East. And I'm going, I mean, I've had this talk with people.
Lord Jesus, quickly.
Well, that's one good prayer right there. But I'm thinking, man, if these are not the birth pangs, this sure looking like birth pangs. This is earthquakes and volcano. Is it just we're more connected with news so we know? But I don't remember a point in my lifetime when the tyrants of the world are being emboldened to press for what they want. I don't know the time.
No, but I think if you think back to the time of World War II, I bet those people were going like, dang, these are some birth pangs.
Yeah, I'm sure they did.
You know? And so I'm just going like, gosh, I don't have enough life history to have this fully in context, but I would completely agree.
I was going to set a date.
Oh, were you now?
For the second coming. Oh, yeah. This is a way to make yourself really well-known.
Yeah. No, I'm kidding. I look at the dynamic and you just go like, man, Lord, if this isn't priming the planet to cry out and go like, these are not able to be solved by human ingenuity issues. You're just going like, I'm sorry, people beheading other people, wholesale slaughtering children, and being committed
enslaving
to
wives.
It.
Yeah.
You're just going like, I don't think diplomacy is going to work. I really think that's a failed understanding of who it is that is perpetrating this, and just going like, okay.
That's why we have drones, isn't it? When diplomacy doesn't work, we have drones.
But you're just going like, dang, Jesus, how do you respond? I feel like a tiny piece of sand on the beach going like, how do you respond to that tidal wave that's not coming? It's coming. And you're just going like, whoa, don't pretend this is not happening.
And it's not one tidal wave. There's 47 of them backed up out there. No, that's what it looks like. Any one of the crises that I just talked about, the Ebola virus.
Are epic.
Yeah. How many people have already died from that thing? 2,000, I think 1,900 people have already died from Ebola, and they've not got it contained.
It felt crazy when they were bringing those people here, and I'm going like, they're Christian workers for Samaritan's Purse. I should be happy for them. And I'm going like, why are you flying them here? And I'm just going like,
why not?
Well,
they did well by him.
I get that, but you're just going like, my impulse was, ay, ay, ay.
So you were in that quarantine Africa crowd.
I kind of chided myself going like, you should think differently. But I'm going like, I don't right now. And you're just going like, gosh, Lord, I don't know that we walk in the kind of reality that he is. That knows exactly. I don't know. You're like, God, what are you saying about Ebola? I don't know.
Yeah, I saw a gal this week did an email list I'm on, did a whole screed about it. Was a little bit of passion in it. I'll say that, a little intensity.
Okay.
And it was really challenging the quote unquote prophetic people in our age. Who, where are you on this? Why are you not having pronouncement about ISIS? You can have pronouncements about your own ministries. I mean, it was kind of vitriolic.
Uh-huh.
And it was always saying, why aren't we right now being called to prayer? Why isn't the Christian community over the ISIS thing and the Christians being slaughtered in Iraq and Syria? Why aren't we? And it was really, as I read that thing, and I appreciated some of what she was saying. It was pretty good. It was pretty good knocking around. But at the end of it, I'm going, okay, if God said to me today, Wayne, whatever you ask me to do in the Middle East today, I'll do. I'm just like what you were talking about, that sand on the beach. I'm going, God, I don't have a clue.
Could you lead me in that prayer?
Exactly. Because I'm going, what would that be? My first thought would be, yeah, wipe out all the fundamental terrorist mentality people. Just make them dead tomorrow. And then I remembered a conversation I had during the first Gulf War, way back in the 90s, early 90s. I was in Florida with a guy. And it was just, it was when we launched Shock and Awe in Baghdad. And we were watching on TV. And this is the first President Bush. And I looked at him and said, you know what? This thing has weird overtones to it. This is a superior nation going into an inferior nation, the old Persian Kingdom Empire. Uh-huh. This is the kind of thing where God often turns the tables on stuff to whatever judgment, whatever purpose he unfolds in the world. I'm going, you know, what if we got in this thing and lost a whole lot of money and a whole lot of people and it didn't change anything? And I was thinking, boy, that'd be a nightmare, wouldn't it? Here's his response to me. He looked at me and said, do you think God still loves America enough to let us lose this war?
That's a weird.
Yeah. You seem like Rain Man right there.
I'm sorry. I didn't quite follow.
Oh, well, I just think it's – I mean, look what Babylon did to Israel at God's desire. You look at – What I mean, God has a purpose unfolding in our age that is beyond us.
Yeah,
that's the point. I think.
I think there's a God gives His grace to the humble. He opposes the proud. I don't want to be in that camp. Okay, I don't understand all the things that are going on. I, with humility, want to say, "Hey, Lord, if You're saying something, I'd love to understand it. I'd love to hear it. I just want to talk and be friends." I want to be available to help, not be a part of the problem here.
Right.
But I don't know. I don't have the requisite wisdom to just say, oh, dictates, here's what we do. You're going like, there's people over there that have come from communities that follow Christ that are older than anything that's ever happened on these shores.
Yeah.
And you're just going like, they're having their heads lopped off. God is not looking to nuke just that geography as if there aren't individuals right there He absolutely loves. And for them, this is that eternal moment of the true allegiance to Him. And you're going like, welcome to the martyrs that are there right now. That's not unique to now or there. That's been going on in places everywhere all the time. Yeah. And so you just go like, gosh, Lord, help me not look through my myopathy of going like, oh, I just want to see through my special lens of thinking that what I'm doing is the what He's doing everywhere. And right. Just going like, I don't know where my little piece fits within this grand puzzle, but I also know unless He's giving me the wisdom and speaking me to me with the kind of clarity, I don't need someone else's call to say, you need to pray for that right now. Is that not obvious?
It is obvious, but then what is it that we're going to pray? Because not just does God love these 18-year-old Christian sects that live up in... Yeah. Also the Palestinians. Also the Muslims who are behind this thing. God's love... And now you're dealing with how does God's love come up against... But I think it's as wicked and evil as we see in our lifetime. I think that group... Whatever's leading that group, driving that group, it is. God's the deliverer. God's the, how does God interact with that? In other words, how would I pray today if I could have whatever I wanted in the Middle East? And I thought about it all day long and came up with, I wouldn't pray. Other than, God help me. Or what you said when you walked in the room, even so, Lord Jesus.
But I think that is such a valid prayer.
It is a valid prayer.
It is, because I don't feel like, I mean... Here's honestly the wonderful value of tongues. I don't know with English wisdom what I need to pray for, but I still have that yearning to pray, and there is an ability that is available for me to engage in. I can say, hey, God, I care about this. I don't know the wisdom that needs to be done. I don't have enough information to even sort that out. I have a very limited, not from over there, non-eyewitness perspective.
Right.
You know, when I went over to Israel, I got taken to places where they said, all right, so where would you draw the line? Here's the conflict and here's what's going on. You're just going like, I haven't a clue.
Yeah,
I had no idea.
Way above my pay grade.
We don't get that in the news reports. Right. I've had opinions prior to now, and I realize all of them are bunk. Because from right there, they can shoot down any plane. So you go like, that's not safe for you to exist if that's where the line is drawn. You just go like, I had no idea.
Yeah.
And you're just going like, okay, but that's not even the solution. And you're sitting there going like, God, what in the world do we do? I look at, you know the story of Jonah?
Do you recall?
Yes,
it's in
yes.
the scriptures.
Yeah. And we can focus on the whale and we can miss who the Ninevites were.
Yeah.
Do you know who the Ninevites were? I'm not testing you, but
Persians. I'm not sure what you're asking about.
There's this Assyria people. It's the exact same spot.
They're going to invade.
We don't think about. We think Jonah. We think the whale. Where you're like, it's Assad's exact land, and they were some of the most. They would make the Nazis look like kindergartners in terms of their evil brutality.
Right.
We don't really know that most of the time. Jonah was asked to go there and pronounce judgment. Those are the people that totally sacked Jerusalem. You'd think if he was a good prophet, he'd be jazzed. Go proclaim. He didn't say, go tell them if they repent. He's not suggesting. He's go and pronounce judgment. And you're going like, he ran the opposite way. Got on a boat to go to England.
Why?
I just have to go like, what the heck? Why is someone who he's acknowledged as a prophet of God, God's talking to him about a very awful situation, and he wants to bring judgment, and Jonah's going, I'm out of here.
Why?
I personally think this is because he knew something about the mercy of God, and he wasn't jazzed about it.
Yeah, that's what he said. He said, I know if I go tell them, they'll repent. You'll forgive them.
Yeah,
and I want them to.
I don't know why. Yeah. He's
going
like,
exactly the point.
You're going like, my gosh, if he just shows up and says terrible, nasty things that I get tons of emails like that all the time. You know, God's judgment. He's going like, if he shows up and just says that, I don't want to go anywhere near there or God will save them all.
Yeah.
And just going like, where is that revelation of who God really is? That would empower stupid disobedience.
Oh.
And you're just going like, he would sooner die throwing himself overboard than obey God and see God's mercy released on what he considered was his absolute worst enemies.
Yeah, a wicked people.
And I go like, that story helps me look at the whole ISIS situation and go like, I don't think we have a clue very often what is the emotional heart of God towards some of the most wicked, terrible things that we see going on?
Yeah.
And you're just going like,
what we would say to it that would bring rescue instead of judgment and curse. Yeah. I don't think we do. But I do know, given our talk last week, which was an hour ago.
Oh, good.
About that wholeheartedness.
Yeah.
I got to the end of that day thinking, you know what I would love to do? There's about a dozen people I know around this planet that I would love to sit down with and take a day and say,
let's listen.
What would God have us pray? What's
yeah.
God? Because to me, when you strike to, what is the ecclesia? See, I can get a group of Christians around here to pray, and I know what most of them are going to pray. You know, God protect America, blow these people off the planet. I mean, it's going to be all the stuff that I would have prayed 20 years ago. It would be exactly that. And you'd have more agreement and more shouting, jiving, hucking, jucking, and plucking, and you have all that. But I would love to sit down in that whole Ephesians 3:10, the multifaceted wisdom of God is made available through the church to the princes and the powers of the air.
Mm-hmm.
It really is not – the ecclesia is not just a group of Christians that want to pray stupid, selfish stuff.
And it's not just that guy over there.
It would be people who know God's heart enough to sit in a room and say just what we've talked about here. We don't have a clue. This is not – we're going to get in a room and by God, we're going to bring his judgment on these pathetic ISIS people. It is going to be, God, what are you doing in our world? In the full awareness that times of extremity are often more valuable for his church than times of protection and plenty and abundance. And what he wants that. But I love that the early church in Acts 3, after they're arrested, after they're threatened, we're going to beat you guys if you keep talking about this Jesus raised from the dead stuff. They go back in a room to pray, and their prayer is not, kill the Pharisees. Oh, God, kill the Pharisees. Oh, wicked Pharisees. Kill them, kill them, kill them. Their prayer was, give us boldness so that we can stand up to their threats. And that boldness just unloads on them in a moment. Now, that's the kind of prayer meeting I want to be a part of.
Yeah. I'll go to that one.
I don't know if I'm going to do it. I'm still going. But, you know, I'm not praying with anything of certainty about the Mideast with my own limited knothole into who God is.
Yeah.
So if I could find some brothers, we're two or three, maybe it won't be two or three. Two or three of us could get together and say, let's just be ambassadors for the planet today.
Yeah.
Say, God, we're sitting here before you. So that you, and I honestly tell you, I think three grandmas doing that in the places I grew up would have 100 times more power than the biggest name Christian celebrities you could find.
You're sitting in the heavenlies with God in those moments going like, you know what? I am his son and daughter, and he has given charge over this planet to that little thing race of men. What we do matters.
Yeah.
My agreement with him makes things possible that my absentee ballot doesn't. You know, it's like trying to just say, well, you know you care about that, God. That doesn't do squat as it does what you're suggesting when you sit down and say, all right, God, having a clue what's needed there. You do. I'm going to make myself available. You need a human will on this planet to administrate some stuff? Well, hey, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I can start there. Would you like to fill in with greater insight and detail as we, with humility, listen?
Yeah, with other people who are also looking through a different knothole at the God I know.
You might get a better picture.
You think?
You think.
Yeah, that's why two or three of you in agreement, which I heard one translation of that in the Jewish version would be, if two or three people ever get together and agree on anything, I'll show up just to see what's going on. They say it about the Jews. It could also be true of the Christians. We have the same conflict. But if you had people who had lost enough of their own agenda and their own self-interest, and I want this ISIS thing to work out the way I want for my kids, grandkids, whatever, to feel secure. But I want to be in this with God's unfolding purpose in the world.
Yeah.
And I want to bring my little piece. I want to put aside your little piece and his little piece and her little piece. And then maybe we see something that we could pray about wholeheartedly with the Father. And actually, I think that's what prayer invites us to in Scripture. Yeah. Most of our experience with it doesn't approach anything close to that.
Yeah, and what you're talking about right there, I think, you know, without quote this being a teaching moment, but when it says where two or more are gathered together, what's so crazy about the language right there is that it's a double reflexive, which means it's gathered. It's together.
It's like not just a muscle.
It's not like, hey, two of us in a room.
Right.
We're not even really caring about each other or connected in any meaningful way. We're just here.
Right.
No, that's not church. That isn't it does require that sense of wholehearted joining availability. There is a real dynamic there that can be felt, can be known, or cannot be engaged in. And that's why it's like, you know what? Being fully present, being there where you're just going like, you know what? In humility, I care, but I don't know what to care about very effectively.
Yeah.
I need some divine information to help guide me where you're wanting to establish your will and how and what that looks like. And I'm going to drop my assumptions that these are just the good guys and those are totally the bad guys, as if they're not people you care and love about,
yep,
and died for just as much as you did for me.
Absolutely.
And it's like, golly, when Jesus is saying, you know, pray for your enemies, just going like, I'm pretty sure that's not the predominant thoughts towards ISIS right now. I don't know how many prayers he said, you know, the leader of that dude, would you convert him like the Apostle Paul? Will you touch his heart and totally transform him? That'd be a good one.
At least this is true. He is deeply loved by God.
Yeah.
In spite of the evil he sold his soul to.
Yeah.
He's deeply loved by God. It's one of his lost kids.
Yeah.
And I again, this takes me to space that I think we don't go to very often because we don't have the answers. I don't know what to do with all that hunger we just put out here except to say, there it is. God, take it and do with it what makes it alive. But I honestly, if I was real honest about it, I would say I think that's why the church is in the world.
Yeah.
Not the church that gathers in buildings and has its service and does the hokey hokey stuff and everybody's just trying to figure out the best way to get their self needs met.
Not the under the bushel.
No, but it's people that are willing to say, to Ferguson, the whole thing about the black kid being shot and the cop, how quickly did people polarize into either with the white cop who needs to protect himself, shoot black kid, just that it's part of it, it gets threatening, or the black, and nobody knows what happened yet. We really don't. But how quickly we chose sides instead of the side that would just say, wow, God, I'm sure it's very different for a black kid to grow up in America than it was for me. I'm sure that's true.
Yeah.
Especially in many, many neighborhoods.
Yeah.
And how do we come at that? And I don't have an answer for that either. It's not like, well, here's my answer for that. I would hope that in pockets of threes and fours and whatever, that we'd begin to sit down and pray and merge our insights together when we don't have anything we really want or anything we have to defend. Because if you do that, then the prayer meeting's just, it's as sucky as all the ones I've ever been to.
It's an agenda-driven.
It's all the ones I've ever been to.
Deal.
Everybody's got their own thing. And I tell you, one time I sat in a big old prayer service and we were going to pray for 5 minutes against, because someone had a prophecy about God's going to come and judge America. And, oh, it's the worst thing in the world. And boy, did we pray with absolute fervor and passion. And when that's the very thing the psalmists rejoice in. God's coming to set right what's wrong in the world. I want God's judgment on my life, on America, on ISIS, on, I want God's judgment.
How else does it get corrected?
Oh boy.
But that isn't where, because I think most of us are like, hey, comfort and pleasure me.
Yes.
That's what my prayer list is, oh great Santa Claus.
But if that's why God put the church into the world, is so that we would be
salt and light in the midst of all of that.
We would also be the tool through which the wisdom is made available to the rulers of this age.
Yes.
By how we find a wholehearted unity together, even if it's only in twos and threes. That may be as much as we, that's what Jesus said, maybe as best we can do. But I tell you, when I find people who've lost that sense of agenda, self-preference, I do what I do because it's best for me, to as best I know what God's saying to me. And they act. And I love when I find people who act against their self-interest. And I'll say, why are you doing this? I feel like God asked me to. That's all the reason they have to act against their own self-interest. And I go, see, that's the kind of people I want to pray with.
Yeah. That's
the kind of people I want to talk to.
That does rise to the level of extraordinary.
Because it's so rare. It is really rare. Most of us are still using religion as our tool to get the goodies we couldn't get in the world. And yeah. God become just another tool to meet my every need so I'm happy and comfortable and I don't have anything at risk. Instead of, no, he's come alongside to redeem a world. He's invited me into that purpose. If anything matters, everything matters. What is God asking me to do? And that's where I come to that little piece of sand on the planet. Am I going to make the difference? No. But I can make whatever difference God asks me to make. What prayer I make, what connection I have. I have a place, and other people have a place.
The little piece of sand, feeling a little piece and just going, oh, I'm overwhelmed, that is a self-conscious perspective, not a real God-conscious one.
Yeah.
That little piece of sand that says, you and me make a majority, so what are we going to do? Is a whole different engaged, life-attracted space. And it's like, that's, I think, the high calling and privilege that we have available to us. But it doesn't happen through our little self-conscious, well, I don't know what to do.
Right.
It's like, well, so when was that ever necessary?
And it's just me and God make a majority. I'm not seeing enough. I need some others who are seeing what I don't see. And when I've had those moments, whether it's been in a writing project or it's been in a prayer thing or it's been a decision we made, where the rightness of wisdom comes out of a conversation that brought pieces together to something where at the end everyone could say, I'm in.
Yeah, that's...
Those are the moments. That's, yeah. I think that's the council at Jerusalem. People say, you know, James just gave the answer for the church and everybody followed it because James is the leader. No, James expressed something. And they all said, that seems good to us and good to the Holy Spirit. That was the fix. The fix wasn't, James is the head. He got to boss people around. It was, he said something that everyone in the room said, I believe that. I'm in on that.
Yeah,
and that those are the transcendent moments, I think, that disturb the principalities. And it's not our being in prayer meetings, barking at the principalities and rulers, barking at stuff. It's not all that stuff. It's when it's when people come into a holy agreement that is unmolested by conformity, pressure, convince. It's all it's unmolested by that. It's just people opening to a reality that's beyond us. I think that's what disturbs the rulers of this age, because that's more powerful than anything they've got. It's just rare.
And unfortunately, they don't even stand a chance against that dynamic when it's loosed.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, you know, it's not, oh, how do you do spiritual? It's more like, you know what? There is a victory that has been won for all time. God is looking for some folks to come in agreement with him and then apply that. Where he's directing, you know, the kingdoms of this world are going to become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ. Well, how does that happen? Seems to me he's seated on the throne waiting for those to be made his footstool. I think we're engaged in that exact thing. And it isn't, you know, we need the Billy Graham of now to call us as a nation.
To a stadium.
To
big time. Yeah.
And it's like, I don't want to. I got buddies that do that, so I don't really feel like poo pooing it. I just go like,
oh, I don't. I do.
I know. That's my little salvo.
They don't listen to this anyway. We're good.
No, but I look at that and I go like, okay, God bless that. If in the midst of all of that, you can get that sense of together, wholehearted, whatever, because I'm sure that's what's driving some of them. But I'm sure that's not driving with all of them. And so you're just going like, I do think it's a whole lot easier to get things done when you have less wills in the way.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
And I think what keeps some of this from happening, I know for me, I've been in prayer meetings. I was in a prayer meeting in Ventura that we supposedly were in the first governor's house, not in that house, but on the property where the first governor of California's house was. So there was actually
power.
Good 10 minutes of the prayer time was praying that there would never be another homosexual act committed in California after that moment. We were going to intercede for that stuff.
Did it work?
Oh, I don't believe it did. But my point is, I think enough of us have been in the kind of falseness of we're going to humanistically agree in God's name for stuff and realize
and impose our will
that just bored us to tears, saw its irrelevance, walked away from it. I guess this what's stirring in my heart is, in spite of how it was misused, there's something real about the wholehearted agreement of brothers
totally.
And sisters. And it, to the degree that we're getting very individualistic and me and God, we'll pray and we'll do stuff together, I think we're missing an important piece.
No, because
of how do we intercess together?
Just as important as where two or three are gathered is the do not forsake the assembling of yourselves. I don't think that's a call to attend services.
Right.
I think it's like when you get a box and it says some assembly required. I'm sorry, all the pieces might be in the box, but if they're not assembled,
right,
they're not really joined together,
yeah,
nice box. It's on to squat. It really doesn't fulfill the purpose that it was intended, because we as the body do need to be set by the master builder as living stones into a dwelling place that he'll inhabit.
And that's a work only he can do. That it starts by not, oh, wow, this is a great idea. Let's go do it. No.
Hey, dude, get all your living stones.
It starts by looking into a space. I think for me anyway, looking into that space saying, you know what? Part of my engagements with brothers and sisters right now could include more time of listening to God together. Not just separately, but together.
Mm-hmm.
People who have lost the need for their own whatever and really are tuning into God's agenda in their lives and the world around us, the God's purpose. And I that's what I'm wanting to respond to. I'm wanting to respond to saying, man, I want to see where that goes, because I think that is a piece. And yet only Jesus can put that kind of church together, that's being built together to be a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. That is his doing, but not without our cooperation. Not without, no. What peace have you given me today? Nudge me to it. Stir my desire, stir my passion, give me the relationships that this can be lived out in. And God, I see into a space I want to live more in than I'm living today. Yeah. And I'm excited about that. Yeah, I don't know how it's going to happen. But.
And I think one of the most important things to realize is, you know what? You can't kindle your own fire. You can't manufacture that. You can caretake when God has lit that thing.
Yep.
And then I think that really is our, if there's a priestly duty, it really is to caretake the things that God has demonstrated his life-giving initiative to. It does require our response. It is not the, all right, God, you just do it all now. It's no, it's a together, us with him in this. And I think where people start to experience that, gosh, talk about stoking your hunger for actually the real church.
Yep.
That's what it is. That's where you start to taste it and go, ooh, I see it is good.
Yeah, this was a gift God gave.
Yeah.
This is not a drudgery that you must participate in to be a real Christian.
Taste and hold your nose and try to suck it down. No, it's taste and see. This is good.
Thank you for traveling with us today on The God Journey. You can join this conversation by visiting thegodjourney.com or add your voice by calling our comment line at 805-539-6980.